and welcome to the first episode of the FNF podcast. I'm George, and today I'm joined by Ewan, aka Big Rig.
Hello there.
And I'm also joined by Ali.
Hello, mate.
This is a new weekly show where we'll be covering the topic of our choosing in the world of football. We'll also be running another series in which we provide a roundup on each game week of Premier League fixtures, so stay tuned for that. But today we've decided to discuss our Premier League team of the season so far, while also attempting to be as witty and as charming as possible. So we're all going to be putting forward our own teams and then aiming to agree on a player for each position. So first of all, in goal, Big Rig, who have you gone for and why?
So I actually think that the goalkeeper position is one of the most highly contested in this team.
Oh, really?
I can understand that.
So I know you may have said that this is a very bad shout, George, but in terms of shot stopping statistics, Sam Johnston
is
the Premier League's best.
No, just no prizes best, for guessing who these clowns support.
He's actually not just the Premier League's best, I'll have you know. It's Europe's top five leagues. He is topping the charts.
Well, that is pretty good. And so the metric or stat that's used is post-shot expected goals. And Sam Johnston is running currently, well, this was before the Liverpool game, but he was running at a positive 4.4. It means that he was expected to have let in 4.4 goals more than he has based on the positions of the strikes towards his goal.
Well, your statistics are very cute, and I like statistics, but are you really suggesting that the goalkeeper of the second bottom team in the league has been the best in the league so far?
Well, I do think that's a very valid point, Gig, but I don't think any other keepers have shone and saved their team as many points, even though West Brom have very few. Saved as many points as Sam Johnston has, though.
The phrase damage limitation comes to mind, really, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, well, that's the best he can do. He can't score goals, can he?
Touche.
Well, what I'm going to say is that although I do think Sam Johnston has had a very good performance this season, I am not actually going to put him forward as the goalkeeper of the league so far. Because although Sam Johnston had a positive 4.4, Nick Pope had positive 4.3. Oh. And in other areas, I think Nick Pope has definitely outshone Johnston. He's managed to keep 5 clean sheets. And he's had 5 man of the match performances, which is the second most man of the matches of anyone in the Premier League.
I mean, I think that's very fair, and he also should be getting more time in the England team as well, Nick Pope.
I'd agree with that. I'd agree he belongs in the England team. But is Nick Pope your go-to then, Alex?
Well, I actually was going to go with Emiliano Martinez.
Yeah,
which I'm sure you would have been very happy about.
Yeah.
But I'm still on a bit of a high from that save from Firmino's header right at the end of the game. So I am going to stick with Sam Johnston.
Oh,
okay.
So, Gig,
well, there's all our listeners
Martinez,
gone.
Martinez, then?
I'm certainly thinking of Martinez. I mean, just
do you think we're getting a lot of listeners anyway, Gig?
Well, I don't know. What ones we had, I've just tuned out, I suspect. But
Dad, please tell me you're still listening.
In terms of, like, a complete GK, like, I know he's, like, sort of coming on the form of his life off the back of the FA Cup and the Community Shield, but he's kept 8 clean sheets in a team that only conceded 7 in the whole of last season. He's shot-stopping superb, like, and he's just settled down that back four, and he always comes off his line. He always catches it as well, which I prefer to a GK who loves a punch.
Hate a keeper who's punching it.
Or your Nylon like punching more than Ewan's dad after a few pints. And sorry, Paul.
Rick's not happy.
But just so quick off his line. And what I like about him is when he does come for a cross, so many keepers just seem to like just lie on it and kill it and allow the defence to push back upfield. But he wants to get going straight away, like the third goal at Arsenal. The third goal at Arsenal, we'd just gone 2-0 up away from home and literally took this, claimed this cross, and he literally got straight up, overarmed it to Grealish, who just absolutely smoked Bellerin. fucking Bellerin. And then slotted in Watkins to make it 3-0. Oh, well, that's a debate for another day. But yeah, Emiliano Martinez would be my goalkeeper of the season so far.
What a shock, eh?
Well, I do think that you've definitely got a point. And when you look at last year compared to this year, he's definitely turned a very, very shaky defence into, well, what's been one of the best so far this year.
Yeah, and not much a little bit of change from last year with Matty Cash involved now in that pillar defence. But, I mean, you've still got the core of Mings and Konsa, and suddenly they seem to be performing fantastically.
The mention of Matty Cash, I think, brings us on nicely to the right back spot.
I was going
to
say, well, we don't spend all week on keepers.
Does that mean that I would be happy to go with Martinez. I thought that I'd bring some people into the debate.
Without doubt.
But yeah,
honourable mentions for sure.
I'm happy to confirm Martinez as a joint keeper.
Yeah.
I didn't think Sam Johnston was going to get anything.
I think definitely in terms of impact as well. Just how is probably for me been the most impactful signing of the summer.
I thought when we got him, I was like, "Oh, that is a quality signing." But he's been way better than I even thought he'd be. Like, So for right back, Alex, who have you gone for?
Well, so I've actually gone with three at the back. However, I did put in a right back. It's maybe slightly controversial if we want to go for a four at the back formation. Back at right back, we'll say, would be Reece James. I just think he offers a lot going forward. I think that as much as I think Trent's actually a better footballer than him, I think this season Trent hasn't been performing up to the standards as he was last year, and I think Reece James looks like he just keeps getting better.
I mean, he's been very consistent, I think. I do feel like part of it is that he's an academy product as well, if you know what I mean. Like, everyone expects Chilwell. Yeah, everyone expects Chilwell a bit more of him, which is fair enough because of the price tag. But yeah, he's certainly come on. I remember the first time I watched him, I didn't think much of him, but now, big strong boy as well, isn't he?
He's nearly a big lad. He's
nearly as strong as Ewan here, but...
he ain't got as much of a rig as Ewan.
Oh, no, not at all. But decent shout, definitely. Who have you gone for, Rig?
Well, I'm a little bit tied with a few players, and I definitely think that James is up there. In terms of all-round game, I think like James offers you a very balanced option. I think Trent is sort of... his attacking output hasn't been quite as much this season, but in terms of from right back, he's still like probably easily the most creative, is getting 1.5 key passes a game.
Is that what you want?
He's probably got to hang back a bit as well, and he would know Van Dijk. He's not just allowed to play as a second winger, really.
He's not got the freedom that he had.
But then also saying that, I think like a lot of people picked holes in his game with his lack of defensive output, but he's definitely improved on that this year, so that he's putting in more of a shift to stop people. Is not doing bad, our Trent, I think. But I think this will again please you, Gig. I've gone with Matty Cash.
Wow, that's a big shout.
I would argue that it's not. But
every time that I've watched Matty Cash, there's not been a time when I've thought he looks extremely susceptible to anyone, or he's just been a solid pick. And his who scored rating is the highest. I double checked that because I was like, fair play. But in terms of right backs in the league, he's statistically considered the best so far this season. And I think from watching him, I tend to agree. His defensive output is a lot higher than all the others. I think he's the highest in tackles and interceptions per 90. Or yeah. Actually, Kyle Walker-Peters is slightly higher than him in tackles per 90. But everything else, he's either top or up there. In attacking output, he's not quite there. But I guess when you don't have the elite centre-backs next to you, you don't have that freedom to roam like some of these others do.
Yeah, and call me old-fashioned, but I would still... I know the game is advanced now, but like I would... My primary... The thing I'd look for in a right-back first would be his defence and then what attack he has on top of that. And I think he is like, look, certainly Crystal Palace before the sending off, like he was much higher at the pitch than I'd seen him. But even like even his delivery is as good as anyone I've seen. Like, well, maybe not that. But like it's he's got a great cross on him. And especially when you consider he's like he was a winger at Forest a few years ago, and he's pretty new to the fullback position. And the defence seems to be the strongest part of his game. But he's not actually who I went for.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know if it was a bit of a Villa thing, and because I was going to like demand Martinez to be in it. And so I didn't want a Villa right back as well. But I've actually gone for Tariq Lamptey.
Oh, I have him in my honourable mentions. He has been absolutely fantastic.
Unless I'm very much mistaken, he is the only Tariq in the Premier League. which is probably worth it in itself, but I think it's because Villa have got a bit more attacking outlet. So whereas like every time I watch Brighton, Lamptey is just at the heart of everything they do. Like, and for a 20-year-old fullback, that is ridiculous. Like, he's some of the tackles he puts in for a lad who's 5'5", and he's so good going forward as well. Like, When he was up against Matt Target, I was worried all game, and that felt like the only threat to us, if you know what I mean. So he would be my go-to, but Matty Cash a very close second.
Do you think that his sending off affects this at all?
I haven't seen it yet.
Not against Villa.
Yeah, the Lamptey red card.
I wouldn't say so. He's missed the last three games after the day through injury, which would maybe be a reason not to include him. But
I don't know. I think he's not really.
It was two bookings. It was right at the end of the game. The one thing I would say is I thought he should have been booked earlier than he was. But it was two bookings within the space of about 2 minutes, I think. So not really, but. If we want to go for Matty Cash, I will not fight you on that.
Well,
I think my vote is going for Tariq Lamptey personally.
Yeah, I think
he's also very unlucky to come through at a time where England have about five other class right backs.
Yeah, well, for me, I think Walker had a really good start to the season, but he's not at the level he was at a couple of years ago. I'd be pushing for like the likes of Lamptey and Cash over him, and probably even. And Wan-Bissaka hasn't quite looked himself this season, I don't think.
He's not played that much, I don't think.
He's missed the last couple for injury, but I don't know. And Southgate doesn't seem to like him. He's not even been called up yet. But
no, he hasn't. So who are we going for, boys? Because we don't want to spend all night on right back either.
So I think that sort of Lamptey. Yeah, I'm gonna go with him then.
Okay.
I'm happy with that. Sweet. I think Tariq.
Go for a young Englishman.
Nice. And then your first centre-back, Rig.
So, I think maybe not that controversial, but I've gone for Kurt Zouma.
Nice.
What are your thoughts on that?
We'll go to Alex first. Alex?
I'm going to go for Yerry Mina.
Interesting. Yeah.
Some people might say Michael Keane's been better than him, but I like Yerry Mina too.
Well, this is an interesting one because I've gone for a completely different player, and for me this one wasn't particularly difficult. I've gone for Ruben Dias.
That's fair. He's massively improved City's defence.
I think everyone thought, oh god, P- Pep's bought another expensive defender. What's he doing? But, like, since he's come in, the City of, I know City haven't been at it, playing that full-flowing, like, football we used to. But they've got the best defence in Europe, top five leagues.
Did you just
leagues.
Say, we used to?
We
yeah,
are
I
used
think
to.
You're a City fan.
No, no, we're used to watching.
Oh, yeah, oh I right. thought you meant as in changed allegiances.
Oh, no. Oh, I'll never be a Sky Blue.
Apart from for Coventry.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
great club, great club.
Yeah, so best defence in the top five leagues. In the 17 games prior to his signing, they conceded 18 goals. In the 17 games they've played with him, they've conceded 8.
I've just seen that stat myself.
Yeah, I think when he came in, everyone thought Diaz and Laporte, but he's kept Laporte out of the team. He made Johnny Stones look an absolute world beater, which I think a lot of people thought John Stones was done at City. But yeah, and they just look so solid at the back. If they get Aguero back fully fit, then it could be back to seeing City in full flow, I think.
So have we gone for the second centre back sitting, boys?
Well, so
oh, should we lock in our first actually?
Well, I'm going to put something out there.
Go on.
And you mentioned him there. I know a lot of City fans have been saying that the
Johnny
biggest
Stones.
Positive for them at the moment has been John Stones.
Yeah, I just question if he played enough.
Well, he's kept Laporte out the side as well. You could say it's more so him who's more likely to lose his spot than Diaz. So, really, I'd say it is Stones who's been keeping Laporte out. And Laporte's been insane while he's played, so I think John Stones is not a terrible shout at all.
Yeah, I don't know, I just think like Stones came in, it feels like Stones came in sort of November times, you know what I mean? Like I watched Diaz's first game when they played Leeds, and I thought for a 23-year-old who's only ever played in Portugal, he was so solid. They only conceded because of Edison Howler, and just since then he's just looked so strong, I think.
Yeah, I can't lie, I think I've not watched that many City games, so I think if you're saying that Diaz is the main man at the back, then I'm happy to lock in Diaz.
I'm happy for that as well, and I think John Stones has only played 6 games.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, I think it's been his performance in the cup as well, and the Champions League that's been praised.
Okay. And then for your second centre back, Ewan.
So, I was also thinking of going for Fofana.
Yeah. I've put Fofana as well.
I've put Fofana.
Right.
Yeah. You've been impressed with his performance then.
Very much so. More than circumstances as well.
Only 20 years old.
Well, yeah, like came in. I think he was 19 when he came, 30 million. I don't think many of us had heard of him, apart from our loyal St Etienne fans.
There's lots of them that watch.
And just also as well, like, the injuries they've had, like, for me, Ricardo is probably the best right-back in the league, certainly defensively. They've lost him, they've lost Soyuncu, and I think everyone expected Leicester to struggle a bit. They're still third in the league. And it's Christmas, you know what I mean? And like, he just looks so comfortable in the Premier. He's played on the right of a back three, in the middle of a back three, he's played in the back four. He just looks so composed.
He's so good on the ball. So good on the ball.
I definitely thought that Leicester were going to struggle. But then.
Oh, you were wrong.
Yeah, very wrong. Well, they did have a lot of people out, but I think even James Justin's done quite well as well.
Yeah, he's very solid.
I just think he lacks a bit of experience sometimes. I've seen him get caught out of position, but he looks like he could really be a player.
Yeah, I think I think Pereira and Soyuncu aren't too far away. If those two come back into the team and Didi's fully fit now, I think they can. I'd be surprised if they don't get Champions League the way they're
playing. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah,
potential of a title charge, but
I expect if it looked like Liverpool were running away with it, starting to run away with it until. To like drop points
Shemi
at the Mighty Ajayi, Albion.
Masterclass.
Oh god, Allardyce.
Well, everyone says that Allardyce is a tough guy.
So we're going for Fofana then.
I think having all put that, we'll definitely have to go for him. Did you have any other people that you thought were in and around there?
Maybe Thiago Silva. Just for how he settled down that back four.
Scored
but I
two
think
goals.
They've been a little bit inconsistent, I would say. And just against the top teams more so. I don't think Chelsea beat anyone higher than 12th at the time they played them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think compared to what their defence was last year, Thiago Silva's improved massively, and he's still quality. I think people seem the same with Cavani at Man U. Like, people are so funny about clubs buying players over the age of like 32, 33, and they've just got all that experience, and like someone like Zuma will learn so much off having Thiago Silva.
Yeah, yeah. Right, should we move on to the left back boys?
Yeah, sure. Who have you gone for?
I have gone for Andrew Robertson. I don't think there's anyone else. I think he's the best left back in the world. He's got 5 assists, and I'm still not over the pass he made for Firmino's goal against Palace. That was
that was outrageous.
That was just fantastic.
It was that good. You're not sure if he meant it, if you know what I mean. Like, how can he have picked him out that well?
It was just so. Oh, yeah. It has to be Robertson for me. I think that's one that I'm going to be pretty adamant on. You'd have to put in a pretty good argument for someone else. Ewan, what's your thoughts?
Talking about meaning pretty outrageous dinks, do you think that Bukayo Saka meant it?
Yeah. Although I have watched his face, and he does look like he's looking for a Lacazette. But I want to believe he meant it.
Yeah.
I think like with Mendy's positioning, I can see how he could have meant it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Tammy Abraham doesn't think so.
It would have been interesting to see how he'd reacted if there was fans there. Because if he'd have meant that and it was a full Emirates, then he probably would have like gave at the beginning, if you know what I mean. But if he hadn't have meant it, he wouldn't have celebrated. But because it's behind closed doors, no one really celebrates anyway.
Going back to the left back, Ewan.
So, I think that Robbo is probably my pick. But then I would also say that Ben Chilwell's got a pretty good stake.
I'd agree. I'm with you, Alex, that Robertson is the best left back in the world, most definitely. Just like as good going forward as he is defensively as well, and just never stops running. But I think I was talking about like Chilwell's price tag as well. Like, normally you see a young English player go for 50 million, and you think something like, it takes him a while to settle in. I think in 12 games, he's got 2 goals, 3 assists, and 6 clean sheets. Mm. I mean, if you wanna go for Robbo, I won't stop you, because I didn't actually go for a Liverpool player and they're top of the league. So I feel like we've got to have I'd happily have Robertson in there.
Yeah.
Ewan, are you happy?
I think that it's not too different between them so far this season. Like in terms of performance, I don't think one's really been so much better. I do think Robertson probably, as we've said, is the best left back in the world. But I think, especially in terms of needing a Liverpool player in, we should probably put Robertson in.
Okay. So our back four, or back five, if you like, Emi Martinez, Tariq Lamptey, Ruben Diaz, Wesley Fofana, and Andrew Robertson.
I think that's fairly solid.
I'm pretty happy with that.
And then I've gone for a 4-2-3-1. Alex, I know you've gone like a 3-5-2.
I've gone for a 3-5-2.
So did you have 3 centre-backs in, or...?
Yeah, I had 3 centre-backs, but I was going to play Andrew Robertson as one, so...
Oh, okay.
Because
then
I just had to have him in.
Who have you put as your left mid, then?
So on the left, I've gone for Heung-min Son, and I know he's been playing striker this year more, but his trade position is a winger, and I also wanted to put some of the players up front, but I think Heung-min Son, I think he's second top goal scorer this season, and his link up with Harry Kane this year is just, it's unmatched. There's no way that you can't at least put him in with a shout.
Oh no, I don't think there's any debate over Son.
So, really. One of the things with Son is how clinical he's been. It's absolutely ridiculous. So his expected goals is 4.94. This is before the Wolves game. And he's performing at 6 goals better than that.
That is mental.
I think he had about 22 shots. So every other shot... Goals. or 22 shots on target, and every other shot on target is a goal for him. He's been extremely efficient.
Yeah.
One thing that does annoy me about him, though, is how much everyone loves him and feels bad for him when he gets sent off for a terrible challenge and he starts crying. And everyone's like, oh no, poor old Son. Like, he absolutely twatted the bloke. Like, get him off the pitch. Don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's like they're looking at him like a Kante figure. But
yeah, and he's not. Yeah.
I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but he's not quite got that innocence that Kante has.
Peter Rosberg. we've gone through the back four and then the left mid of.
Are you agreeing with Son?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
On that left hand side, left wing or left mid, we're still to decide, I guess. We've gone for Son. For midfielders, though, George, I know you've gone for a 4-2-3-1, so I'm interested to see who you've put as the pivots.
Do you want me to fire them both at you at one time?
Or, can I guess one?
You can.
I know you're a big fan of one. I
think that one of them is the best Pierre in London.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. This one was pretty easy for me as well. Højbjerg.
Especially,
it's such a Mourinho signing, like 15 million as well. I know he only had 1 year left on his contract at Southampton, but that is such a good bit of business from him. And he's just like I don't think that Tottenham back four is anywhere near a title title challenge, but with him in front of it and Sissoko as well, he's looked really good. They just look very settled. I don't think they will mount a title challenge. They've just dropped points to Wolves as well. But yeah, I think the impact he's made, he's definitely got to be in it. The other holding midfielder I've gone for, maybe a bit left field, but I've gone for Calvin Phillips.
No, I hate this Leeds hype, and I hate the Calvin Phillips hype. He's a good player. He's really not all that. Might be a bit controversial.
I think you've got to remember, this is his first Premier League season. I think the way Leeds play, he allows them to be as bold as they are because he's their sort of anchor, and I think without him it would kind of fall apart. I know he got took off at half time at Man U, but that was a bit of a freak game. I think he's the absolute beating heart of that team.
And in my book, if you can't mark Scott McTominay, you're not good enough for a team this
year. Yeah, but he had the game of his life.
Now, I do think Calvin Phillips is a good player. I don't think he's obviously, he is massive for Leeds, but in the terms of how you look at it, you act as if there's no other players that are like in that midfield or around there that do a job.
Well, defensively, I mean, like, I know they all work hard and they work back, but like, you got like Rafinha and Rodrigo, who are wingers really.
Rodrigo's more of a striker, if anything.
Yeah. So I just go with Callum. Like, I didn't see the hype with him initially. Like, I think he was getting called up to England like a bit early, but I just think he looks so settled in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think he does. But then it comes then to a debate about, has he played enough? And I think for me, there's players sort of maybe not in that position, but that's where I'd move towards more of a 4-3-3. That have played more games than Phillips, because I think it's like 8 appearances he's had. So really? I think there's probably more players that have had more of an impact. But in terms of Højbjerg, I think him as well as Martinez has been one of my signings of the season. I think he has been brilliant for Tottenham and like made them look very good.
Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. Calvin Phillips has played 11 games, I will say. But
Sorry.
Out of 15, is it?
14 or 15, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
He also got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would. If you've got a better suggestion, I will part company with him. But
so,
go on, Ewan.
What I'm going to say is we agree on Højbjerg and put him as our CDM.
Yeah.
And then what I think, there are quite a few players that could play in that midfield three with Højbjerg. And I think my first one is going to be Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
I think it's how could you not put him in there? He has been like what's kept Man United going. He's been the best player this season and for them, and maybe one of the best players in the Premier League.
He's got probably more goals and assists than appearances.
Yeah, he's probably been the best player in the league since he's come in, really. And if you think he hasn't played in the Premier League. And like if he'd have come in like the win in August, September last year, like he would have run De Bruyne and Henderson so close for PFA Player of the Year. Like
I think even without doing that, he was running people pretty close to Player of the Year. Like people would have picked him.
Yeah, I think after the Leicester game, it's 10 goals and 6 assists in 14 games.
That's mental. That is so mental.
Especially with United's attacking options, like for him to get 10 goals from a number 10 role, and he sort of plays free roam as well, like he'll just pick up the ball anywhere.
Yeah.
To get 10 goals, I know he's Bruno Fernandes and all that, but that is impressive.
Yeah.
So,
go on, Ewan.
I just want to say that there's also... So people in and around that KDB's not far off. He's beaten Fernandes on assists. Yeah. He's only got 2 goals, but one of the stats that I saw while I was looking is in terms of players' expected goals, I think KDB has the highest negative. So he's missed the most chances that you'd expect the average person to score. I think it was about -4.
I think he didn't impress me against the Baggies. I mean, I know Bilic pulled off a masterclass to say goodbye to the club, but he wasn't very impressive at all.
I do watch him though, and I think like that City team has become built around him, and I think like if he were to get an injury now, I think he's like City are as high as they are, if you know what I mean. Like he's become their main man now that Silva's gone. Like the weight is on him to create the brunt of the chances, if you know.
Yeah.
And
I didn't have him in my team, but yeah.
I haven't had him, but he's in my honourable mentions.
Yeah,
I think
another honourable mention I've got, unless you've got more to say.
All I was going to say is that I think one of the pretty outstanding things about De Bruyne is in a season where you'd maybe not consider him to be doing that well, he's still the Premier League's top assister, or in terms of he's not making it as a clear-cut name into this team, but we think of him so highly that you'd expect him to always be like...
Yeah, that is the biggest compliment you can give him, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost unfair, really, isn't it, that just because he's not performing at one of the best levels ever, that we're saying he's not that good.
And he's already, for me, Premier League... great.
Oh yeah, 100%.
If he left at the end of this season, I'd still put him in that bracket.
And I think he's actually got the highest key passes per 90.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. You can play him from anywhere, can't he?
So he's always going for like sunburn as well.
Are you going for your like Højbjerg holding, and then I'm guessing you're going like kind of Pep, like 2 10s in a midfield three.
Yeah. So can I put in an honourable mention quickly?
Go for it.
Before we move on. I'm gonna put in James Ward-Prowse as an honourable mention. I think they've overperformed so far this season, and I think he's the main reason. I think he should get maybe a chance in the England side, but also his ability on set pieces is almost enough. Like he scored two free kicks against Villa. He runs the game. He runs the game. I watched him against Fulham yesterday, and as much as that was a boring game, I still thought he was good, and I think he is unlucky not to get into this.
I think he has, like, he's come on, like, he is, like, more than just the set piece taken out. Like, his tackles and stuff have increased massively. I wouldn't put him into this kind of bracket, if you know what I mean. I still don't think he offers enough outside of his set pieces. His set piece technique is phenomenal. There's so few players like it, but I would like to see a bit more from him in open play.
That's why I haven't put him in the team.
Yeah. What I'm also going to say about that, as I was researching for this, I think in terms of defensive output, Romeo from Southampton, yeah, he was one of the best players.
He's got the most tackles, I think, in the league.
And it was that volley at the start of the season that was pretty good as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that weren't bad. Yeah. Oh, wait, was that against Villa as well, Gig?
Romeo, but no.
Oh, I was hoping it was.
Yeah, you wish. Yeah, and like yesterday, like Ings was missing, Romeo was missing, Vestergaard was missing, and they're pretty poor against Fulham by all accounts. I didn't watch it myself because it clashed with a Villa game, but yeah.
Well, so for other honourable mentions I've got, I think Madison's got to be up there. He's been doing well.
Yeah,
he's been fine.
I think he's just missed a few too many games, I'd say. But he does appear to have gone up a level a bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think Grealish has ended the Madison or Grealish debate this year.
Well,
with his form. But
saying that, I think we should all say that. I'm guessing we've all got Jack Grealish in our teams.
Well,
yeah.
We'll get to that because there are a few different ways,
options,
I believe, we could go.
Go on then.
Are we nailed on with Højbjerg and Bruno as our first two midfielders?
Yeah.
Now, this next one, I am in two minds whether I'm going to go for Grealish in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as you've said, we know that Grealish is getting into the team.
Yeah.
But it's whether we put him there or somewhere else. And the person that I'm thinking of putting in as the third centre mid is Mason Mount.
No. No. Veto.
Not for me.
Absolutely not. Can't stand him.
You guys completely against him?
Yeah, no, not a chance.
I don't mind him.
No.
It's more the constant England call-ups and stuff. I think he's a useful little player and I think he's decent, but
he's just no Grealish.
I'm
a West Brom fan.
Much rather have like the way there seems to be so much debate about Grealish's best position and stuff, especially on current form. I'd play him. He just wants to be playing. Like, put him in the team, play him as a number 8, play him as a number 10, play him on the left, play him on the right. You just get him in the team, if you know what I mean.
I would just give him a free roll.
He's
one of those players, just let him do what he wants, because he will be good.
I know what you're saying, but I'm not necessarily... It's not a question of whether it's Mason Mount or Grealish. I'm saying Mason Mount as that second centre mid. Give Bruno a bit of an opportunity to be the one that pushes it forward a bit more. But I think Mason Mount's definitely done well this season. He's got a goal, 3 assists, and
a goal.
Okay, but his goal contributions from centre mid have been good.
He's got 4.
If you want to do that though, I would argue you have like a bit more of an enforcer there, like a Phillips, and then Bruno can do whatever he wants. But
so
I know what you're saying, but then
four
I think
goal contributions this season.
What's that? Sorry, Alex.
Are you telling me Mason Mount has 4 goal contributions this season?
He's got 4 goal contributions, but he's offering a lot more than that.
Well, you know what? Let's put Pereira in there as well, because he's got 2 goals and 2 assists. If we're talking Mason Mount, Pereira's doing that for West Brom.
I know what you're saying in terms of balance, Ewan. Like, he is good out of possession. And I know, like, if we go for Grealish and Fernandes in midfield, that is a very attacking midfield. But now you say it, like, there isn't a lot of other people jumping out at me in that position.
I personally think that Mason Mount has been a top performer. He's been very good this season for Chelsea.
I just can't have him over Grealish.
Maybe it's not over Grealish.
I can see what you mean, and I know it's not just about goal contributions and stuff. I think he's criminally overrated. I think he's an average Premier League player, maybe a bit better than that. I don't think he's also been team of the season quality. I know it's only 16 games in, but I really just I don't think he's at that level.
Well, he's been a favourite for Lampard, and
yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean a lot.
Well, and he's adapted his position. He's not playing in that same attacking midfield necessarily. And I know a lot of Chelsea fans are big fans and have thought that he's been one of their best players.
I would much rather, if we're thinking like someone to allow Bruno to express himself more, go for an Abdoulaye Doucouré.
Yep.
Like his impact on the Everton team. Just a genuine box to box. Yeah, and Ndombele's not a bad shout.
So, do you want me to sort of... I feel like if we hold off on this selection, and if we go to right wing... Okay. Well, I think, Gig, we've spoke about this a little bit, but the problem... Not problem, but the question is whether you put in Grealish as that centre mid or as a right mid or right winger, and then it's that other player. Do we want... I guess it's the question of, is the right winger or the centre mid that we're thinking, would they have been better? Which one would have been better?
Yeah, because I assume we're thinking Salah for right wing.
Yeah. 13 goals.
The only thing that... Like, when I went for the 4-2-3-1, I didn't put Salah in. I was thinking to put him in. He does deserve it, but he's also scored 5 penalties as well. And I know he's still got to score them and stuff, but it's a lot out of 13 goals.
Yeah. And then he's just good.
He is world class, but like if we're putting people in on actual ability, then De Bruyne's in there, if you know what I mean. So,
but then he's like, I'm a big Salah fan.
He is.
He's top scorer in the Premier League. Yeah. Like there's no way that you can't put the top scorer in the Premier League.
And Salah is also quite massively outperforming his expected goals. I think it's also, if we're looking at complete impact on the team, does someone like Salah have as much impact on the team as another player?
Well, this is a weird one, and this is more of an honourable mention, but I've got two here, and I'd say Gineppo from Southampton.
Yeah, very useful.
Great. Well, I don't know much about his stats, but every time I've watched him, I've thought, fuck me, you look dangerous. He always looks like something's going to happen with him. So I like him. And I also think Harvey Barnes is
Harvey
a class
Barnes.
Player.
Barnes.
Harvey Barnes.
I think I'd love to put Harvey Barnes in just for the meme.
for the 5 months he played at the Albion as well.
Or do we go phenomenal. Do we go for like an Eze?
I mean, I'd rather have Zaha in the team because Zaha's also got 7 goals, and I think when, as much as Palace have got a lot of options, Zaha is the one that if you take him out, Palace are a much worse side.
Oh yeah, but I think like for first season in Premier League football, like Eze's been pretty superb. I think.
I
don't know, my inkling would still be stick Grealish in midfield and stick Salah on the wing because I don't think anyone would want to play against that.
No.
And I think like Bruno's always like top of like distance covered for United. He does a lot of work defensively, and it's something that Grealish has definitely worked on as well. He's not the classic slightly lazy number 10 anymore.
No, he's not.
He presses high, and he's willing to do his bit for his team. That's probably because he loves the Villa so bloody much. But Grealish in midfield, and then Salah on the right wing. Do we reckon?
I mean, I'm definitely happy with that. I think it was just a thing we should have...
Open to debate, certainly.
It's always good to debate.
I mean, Pep doesn't walk into his office and tell him the team and walk out, does he? I mean, I'm guessing I would probably say, although there's been some strong contenders, that the striker is the easiest position to pick.
Yeah. I'm playing two strikers.
Okay, well, we know the obvious one, but who was the secondary one that you went for, Al?
I actually don't know who I think you're going to say the obvious one is Kane.
Yeah.
Who's your sacrificial one?
I've also gone for Jamie Vardy.
Ooh. See, he's just fantastic. Jamie Vardy, he's also been a bit of a penalty merchant this season. Yeah.
11 Leicester, goals, though.
11 Leicester goals, and I think about... I think six or seven of them were penalties. Six or seven were penalties. Well, that's weeks, a lot.
Yeah, but
it's got to be DCL, surely, yeah. as your backup.
He's also got four... Well, I did say that. No, I did look at that, but then Vardy's got more assists than DCL.
Yeah, but...
Actually,
DCL doesn't have any assists, whereas Vardy's got four. So
yeah, but DCL's just...
I don't know, I'll go back and forth on Bamford. That was another honourable mention. But I also think Vardy doesn't just offer goals. He's so key to Leicester. Like, you take him out and Leicester are half the side they are, because it's partly like, if you're a centre-back, the whole game, you know you're not getting time on the ball because he will be on you. And I think that adds to something. I think it like affects the mentality of teams playing Leicester. And he is just... He's Jamie Vardy. I don't know.
So
he is class.
What I'm going to say is that I think that Vardy's goal tally has massively overinflated what he's actually played like this year.
Yeah.
When I've watched him, especially at the start of the season, I didn't think he looked like that amazing. I think there were the statistics about him like barely getting on the ball, even and getting that many shots in open play off. And he has like his penalty tally. Obviously, as we've said, you've got to score them, but I think they've made him look a lot better than he's actually done this season. And I don't think he's at that, like, this season, I don't think he's been the upper echelon of strikers.
Yeah, okay. I'd agree. Right. That the four strikers we mentioned, although one of them's retired, are all England as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, the and we haven't even mentioned Danny Ings either. And
or Callum Watkins.
Yeah, he's a penalty. Yeah, but how many penalties has he scored?
I don't know, but he's only played nine.
Ollie Watkins has got one of the worst sort of negative expected goals this season as well.
One thing I will say about Ollie
just
Watkins...
Just watch him, there's a lot more than goals. Yeah. Like, his work rate is phenomenal. He's like, he's the complete striker for me because he can run in behind. He's sharp, but he can also, like, his hold-up play is superb.
Well, before last season, he played on the wing for Brentford as well.
Yeah, I think for me... the fact that he has done like a lot more than just offer goals, and that there's definitely room in terms of the chances he's getting to put them away, just make it better, because it can be that he's offering even more in the future. His output will only increase.
But then I also think he is a good player, but I think there have been strikers who have been better than Ollie Watkins. I mean, I definitely see the argument against Jamie Vardy. I think there's people who will say Patrick Bamford, but I just think he's too much of a wanker.
I think he's a pretty nice guy.
I don't know. I don't think anyone wanted him to do well, bar Leeds fans, but you can't really argue with his numbers since he's come in. Like,
well, he's got 10 goals, but then he's got a really bad conversion rate of shots on target. Oh, no, of big chances.
He's slightly outperforming his expected goals.
But then I think he's got 33% on like big chance conversion or something when I saw the Leeds game earlier. Also, I would like to point out Burnley were absolutely robbed today. But he did absolutely took his penalty.
It was a really good penalty.
Yeah, composure.
I think we've talked, although it's obvious, we've talked a lot about the candidates.
I'm going to put Bobby Zamora in there.
who are all like, what a pundit he is, by the way. Realistically, they're all playing for second because Harry Kane has 9 goals and 10 assists in 14 games, and that's with him not scoring in his last two games.
He's participated
in 76% of Spurs' goals this season.
We are watching greatness.
He is brilliant, yeah.
He's the
millennial Shearer.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be a great
since the World Cup, I've sort of thought like if he could stay fit, he can easily be England's best ever player.
He could probably break Shearer's record.
Oh, he's on track in terms of goals per game.
Is he? But then how long has he got to go on for doing that? Because if we get into the...
I don't know, he's 27, so this is prime for a striker, really, isn't he?
This is true.
Yeah, I think for him, it's just staying off the injury table, and that record has got to be his.
Yeah, and it's so much more as well, isn't it? Like, his passing range, he's probably, like, top five passers in the Prem, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like long you range, genuinely so. Could put him in hold, like, maybe not hold, like, centre midfield, and he'd do a job for you.
Yeah, and, like, he's learning that sort of the dark side of the game under Mourinho as well, if you know what I mean. Just, like people call it cheating, but, like, just winning fouls and just allowing your team to regroup if they're under a cosh and stuff, like, which it will be in a Mourinho team because of the way he plays.
And if you ask Roy Hodgson, he's a great corner taker.
I think it goes back to the Spurs documentary when you heard them talking about him wanting to become that superstar, become one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And I think he was one of the best in the world, but he's sort of ambition to become top tier, like Messi and Ronaldo tier.
Yeah.
I think he's proven that he's an incredible, credible player.
Well, I think we need to start thinking about him in that same top tier as Ronaldo and Messi.
Well, I think that's a bit it's a bit early, but
he's certainly Lewandowski bracket, isn't he?
Well, Lewandowski was the best player of the year.
Well, is in that bracket of real elite world class stars.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can push on even further because I am a big fan of his.
I'm a big fan. Hopefully he'll
be glad
soon.
To know that. He'll be listening. He'll be feeling better about himself.
Might tweet him. Big rig approves.
Yeah. Just a thumbs up.
So now we've got our starting 11.
Are we doing a bench, are we?
Oh well, what I was going to go for a manager.
Oh, okay.
I think Dean Smith's a good shout.
Yeah, Papa Dean.
I think in terms of, I don't necessarily want to say overperforming, but maybe exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
Dean Smith is really
And
doing
recruitment
it.
As well. I know a lot of recruitment is like technical directors and stuff now. But I think like Villa's, it wasn't helped in a way because we lost 10 or 12 players who were out of contract when we got promoted. So there was a mad panic just to assemble a squad last year, and you can see it in some of the players we signed. And they just were nowhere near good enough. But this year, now we've got like the core of a team, like we have Mings and Konsa and Louise and McGinn and Grealish, and which just allowed us to be a bit more astute about our recruitment. And like you look at Cash and Martinez who've come in, and Watkins, and even Traore last couple of games, it's starting to look like a real talent. Like,
yeah. One person I'd like to get rid of, anyone even putting in a shout for him to be manager of the season so far, is Marcelo Bielsa, because I get that Leeds are a good side, right? They are, like, that would be stupid to deny it. But that nomination for FIFA Manager of the Year, someone wins the championship every year. Like, that's not, it's not like he's the first person to do it. And if it wasn't for how shit we were after the lockdown, we'd have trounced them. We were so much better before lockdown than Leeds were. And he's 12th in the Premier League. That is an achievement for a newly promoted side. But Eddie Howe, at this point, I'm pretty sure had Bournemouth in the top half in their first season.
Like, well, Chris Wilder had a...
Chris Wilder, yeah.
Why don't we just give it to Chris?
Yeah, he's been class. What is it, like 3 points for Sheffield United? But yeah, I just want to say, I'm vetoing. If anyone even mentions Marcelo Bielsa, I will be fuming.
You know, what I...
You're hard.
What I would say about Bielsa, though, is that it's not just about the results, but...
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, has he encapsulated your city, has he?
The mural that I see when I go to the pub is quite excellent, and it gets me in my Bielsa feels.
I did see, like, loads of, like, he's really encapsulated the city and stuff, and, like, I appreciate that he might have an understanding of the city, but he hasn't, like, learnt the language, if you know what I mean.
I was going to say, he can't speak English.
Especially if some... some broad Yorkshire accent came up to him.
He's an enigmatic figure. Everyone just loves him.
Because he writes down while he's bending over on the touchline.
He plays gung-ho football that makes you want to watch football.
The football is outrageous.
Do you want to watch Sean Dyche's Burnley? No.
No, I want to watch Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's United against Leeds. That's what I want to watch.
Bielsa came out after that, didn't he? And was like, I'm just not going to change how I play. I like playing like this.
This comes at the end of a bad week, but maybe Roy Hodgson. I think he's always sort of got stick for like playing negatively, and now like Palace look like a genuine threat with some of their attacking options. I know they've just been slapped 7-0 and then lost 3-0 to 10 men, but if the results haven't been massively better, they're just a lot better to watch. He'll probably go back to his old ways now that they've conceded 10 goals in 2 games at play.
You'll never finish higher than 8th with him. I mean, 8th Crystal Palace is still an achievement.
Exactly, like it didn't work out in Liverpool and England because that is too much and you're expected to play like a certain brand of football and stuff. Yeah. But in terms of I was saying to you, Alex, like for a club like Palace, like the job he did at West Brom, like that is ideal, I think.
Well, we were gutted when he went to England for 2 reasons.
Yeah.
I want to mention Hasenthal as well. Southampton. I don't know, it's a long name.
he's done well, and Southampton are a good team, I think. Like at the start of the season, I didn't expect them to do well, and maybe that was a bit of naivety. But he's done very well with them so far.
Is the mentality he's instilled there as well? Like they're dead set on winning. Like I know they're ninth, and they're all saying like, "Oh, we want to win the league and stuff." But there are only 7 points off Liverpool.
Yeah, and I think I've always quite liked him since he came in. You just know how they're going to play. They all work hard for each other and stuff. And especially like Southampton were having a bit of a turnover with managers after Poch and stuff. And it's just nice to see. Well, every club's the same, really. Like, it's just nice to see a manager get stuck with. I do think like Brendan Rodgers goes under the radar a little bit, especially because of the injuries they've had this year. Yeah. Just always plays good football, and they're just always there or thereabouts,
and they're always exciting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if we're going on maybe more 2020 as a whole, but Carlo Ancelotti, Everton team. I think I was watching Everton Arsenal, and you're thinking like, why are Arsenal not getting him? How are they getting the rookie? Although I like Arteta, why are they getting this rookie coach, and Everton are getting one of the greatest managers of all time? It's just not right, is it?
And I know Everton have a class squad, probably the best squad they've had in years, but they are second in the league, and this is one of the best Liverpool teams ever, and they're second to them. I think it's him or Dean Smith for me.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely things to come from Everton, you look at their recruitment this summer, James, James is injured now for the rest of the season, just the branding that brings in, I think 46 million Instagram followers and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can see, and they're building a 60,000 seater stadium. I think that's going to be 2023, 2024. They're definitely trying to move away from being that, sort of that smaller club in Liverpool. Yeah.
Because Everton, I think, have spent a long time of being the best of the rest. They've all it's always everyone expects them to finish 7th, and now they'll definitely finish higher than that this year.
Yeah. Are we going Dean or Don Carlo then?
Carlo if he gets rid of Iwobi.
It's a tough one. I think whenever I've watched Villa, I've not thought they've been wildly worse than anyone. And I think they've always looked threatening.
And I guess being Palace 3-0 with 10 men.
Mm. They have played really well, but I think what the thing with Villa is, I don't really know how much of that's down to Dean Smith.
I mean, I've had my doubts about him tactically, but like, we've kept 8 clean sheets, and the football has been like fantastic throughout. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And he's somehow struck that balance. Like, Craig Shakespeare's an excellent assistant. I think like it's always difficult to tell just how much of an impact an assistant manager has.
Yeah.
But like, you got him and John Terry. Like, Chris Shakespeare did a good job at Leicester. He was sacked pretty harshly, and then you got JT as well. I know what you mean. Like, it's hard to tell how much of that is down to Dean Smith, but he's ultimately the manager, and so it does come down to him.
Yeah, I think as much as I'd hate to admit it, I think that I would have to go with Dean Smith as my manager so far.
More positive I'm going to say about him is if Villa were to win their 2 games in hand, they'd be second and 1 point behind Liverpool.
Yeah.
So
when we win our 2 games in hand.
Yeah, I'm sure Man City away will be an easy win.
Oh, at the minute, mate. Come on, bring him on.
I don't know, with Ruben Diaz in the back, it's going to be hard to get past him.
Oh, yeah, if the Baggies can get a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, but that's just because we're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Class, to be fair.
So in conclusion, GK, we're going for a 4-3-3 for our team this season so far. GK, Emi Martinez, right back Tariq Lamptey, centre backs Ruben Diaz and Wesley Fofana, left back Andy Robertson, CDM Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, centre mids Bruno Fernandes and Handsome Jack, and then right wing Mo Salah, striker Harry Kane, and left wing Heung-Min Son, and then Dean Smith leading the team talks.
I think that's a hard-to-beat team.
Yeah, I would. I'd be pretty confident sending those boys out to get 3 points.
Depends if they're up against Chef U, then they'll struggle.
Oh yeah, a good side. But anything else we wanna add?
Well, I think it's important to just make sure we say that we know we've probably missed out a few names, or maybe not said a few players that may have deserved to be said. But there are a lot of players in the Premier League. So,
there are a lot.
There is bound to happen. There's at least 4.
And especially if you're a fresher at the University of Leeds and you've been out living it up and you haven't been watching too much football, then, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
But, living it up in lockdown, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we won't get
too much stick off our 3 viewers.
Well, it's only going to be two of which anyway.
Two of which have fallen asleep by now.
Hope you enjoyed it, Dad.
We'll have another podcast coming soon. A roundup of the Christmas fixtures could be a big one because this is peak football time. But until then, thank you very much for listening.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Instagram and Twitter.
On Instagram, it's FNF3Points, and that's 3 with the number 3. And on Twitter, it's FNF-the3Points.
The tag is FNFTTP.
And
you can find us on TikTok as well.
Yeah, you can. Link in description. We got 4,000 impressions on the tweet earlier, so you've probably heard of Twitter anyway.
We are pretty much fine.
Massive.
We are the
massive.
Big cheese. but thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Cheers, guys.